What is often on the table, on lawyers' table, is the aspiration to over-regulate, but not from the lawyer's perspective, but from the politician's perspective. A legal framework has to be refined and well-balanced instrument, so do not over-regulate. The less is better, I would say, in that regard.
Welcome to the Digital Government Podcast. Tune in to discover the future of governance and ways of getting there.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Digital Government Podcast with your usual host, Federico Plantera. Today, speaking with two guests, not just one, and on the topic of cybersecurity and the development of legal frameworks on cybersecurity in other countries that are not Estonia, namely, in this case, I would say probably and mostly Moldova. So to speak about that, I have today with me Elsa Neeme, who is a senior cybersecurity advisor at the Governance Academy, and also Vitali Baranita, who is instead assisting and supporting e-Governance Academy's activities in Moldova, exactly on the topic that we're discussing today. So what is the role that legislation plays in shaping country cybersecurity? So Elsa, Vitali, welcome to the Digital Government Podcast.
Hello, happy to be here.
Thank you for the invitation.
So I would say that we can start from the groundworks, let's say, the foundations. So Elsa, actually, I would start from you and to give exactly an introduction to the topic in general for our listeners, because cybersecurity is not, it's definitely not a new topic. I would say that probably in 2023, it has been one of the topics that we have also covered the most, not just, let's say, for, media choices, let's say, or coverage choices, but because indeed cybersecurity has been a salient topic on government's agendas in Europe and beyond. We have talked a lot about, for example, the Western Balkans, and today, exactly, we are referring, let's say, we're keeping in mind the case of Moldova, but after all, together with cybersecurity, there is also the topic of cyber law. So what I would ask you and what I would start from is exactly, what does cyber law deal with?
Thank you for this introduction, and indeed, to comment on your statement, of, so to say, general approach towards cybersecurity in 2023, then indeed there is no doubt that the topic has been in very prominent place overall in Europe and beyond, in countries who are now in the process of accessing the European Union, Moldova, amongst others, and not mentioning Western Balkans, as you emphasized yourself. Maybe to comment broader from the political viewpoint, the reasons, of course, we do not need to go into more detail or deep with that, but of course, national security concerns become more and more important in the frameworks and in this continuing war situation in Ukraine. So, and cybersecurity per se needs to provide kind of tools, mechanisms, umbrella, and create a necessary environment for the nations and beyond in international arena to ensure the safety in digital realm as well. But what I would like to underline here, and what is often not thought of or said, is that we are not talking about threats only in digital world. Yes, the root source is there. Consequences of those actually have very severe consequences in conventional world. But yes, that is a very wide question and complex one. What is cyber law at all in the first place, and what does it deal with? I would say that this discipline is, of course, commonly understood as the one dealing with the protection of critical information infrastructure. This is the most common understanding based on the European Union practices as well. But for me, being as a lawyer who loves coding and tech coding legal algorithms in the digital realm, I would say that cyber norms are much more wider. And I'm not talking about international cyber norms, but let's just view or think of it like a national perspective on cybersecurity legislation as such. And I would say that it covers actually much more wider disciplines than only this critical information infrastructure protection. Let me bring you examples. For instance, privacy issue, personal data protection. I would say that the more and more nations digitalize their way of living, the more and more we process personal data also only in digital realms. So just protecting the paper and protecting the data on paper is not sufficient enough. Another discipline is definitely accessing to public sector data and organizing, administrating databases, maintaining databases, keeping the records, organizing access. This is definitely the second very important discipline that cybersecurity norms have to address per se. As for title, the legal act doesn't need to be named as cybersecurity law, but nevertheless, this is something that cybersecurity norms have to deal with. Third, very important area, I would say, is definitely e-commerce and doing business nationally, doing business internationally. Data exchange, again, goes back to privacy issue and public data as well. And third, very important domain is definitely national security and defense. And most often we see that cybersecurity legislation has a focus on national security concerns, empowering governments to take measures to protect the country's digital infrastructure from both domestic and foreign threats. And also, to some extent, I would say that cybersecurity laws nationally deal with international corporations as well, and especially from the perspective of information sharing. And of course, what needs to be mentioned here, domain, is cybercrime, that cybersecurity norms have to address offenses related to cybercrime, such as hacking, identity theft, distribution of malicious software, etc. So you see that this is not about ensuring the continuity of vital services or protection of critical infrastructure, but it's definitely much more wider area.
Yeah, and okay, we've put a lot of things on the table now, a lot of things in the pot, let's say. We're making a big stew of cybersecurity, but actually, I would ping you back like on one of the things that you mentioned, which was, interesting to me, because yes, it more than being related to the specific domains, what I would refer to is like the consideration that you made about the title eventually of a law, because we know, you know, that usually laws, when they're made, like especially like in their formal version and the formal documents, they do have like titles. But probably the fact as well that that the laws, especially the cybersecurity law, does not necessarily, let's say, need a title, underscores at the same time even more the fact that this mega stew of cybersecurity that we're talking about, of all topics that are in there, at the same time highlights exactly how, as our life and the state life and the activities of governments become increasingly digital, and we can still talk about them becoming increasingly digital, because it's a constant process, let's say. It might happen, you know, in I don't know, like at different speeds in based on the places or like based on the technology that is coming out. But still, this underscores exactly how talking about cybersecurity and as a consequence or together of cyber law does cut across the domains of government. Why are we saying this? We're talking about this also because together with us today on the podcast, there is indeed Vitaly. So Elsa, you obviously say this also from your past experience at the NATO Cooperative Cyber Defense Center of Excellence, the CCDCOE in Tallinn, where you had experience as a legal advisor. At the same time, Vitaly, who is participating today with in the podcast with us, was and is helping and supporting eGovernance Academy on the activities in Moldova regarding the cyber law. In what way? In the sense that, first of all, Vitaly is serving at the moment as a local legal expert in the Cybersecurity Rapid Assistance Project, which is being implemented by the eGovernance Academy. He's been part of the team since July 2022, essentially. And for context, I think listeners deserve also to know that exactly there is now a law on cybersecurity, like a cyber law, let's say, in Moldova. A law that was exactly published on at the end of April of 2023. And since then, Vitaly keeps being part of our activities. So Vitaly, my second question is to you exactly. And it is essentially a bit complementary, let's say, to what we were already talking about with Elsa. And what I would ask you is exactly, why is, I mean, we sort of like hinted already at why cyber law is necessary. No, I already also like mentioned it in the introduction to this question. But at the same time, would you say that law by itself can ensure somehow a higher cybersecurity in the national space of a country? And if the law alone and the fact that there exists a law on that topic alone is not enough, what else is needed to actually have a sense of increased cybersecurity in the digital spaces that we live?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Federico. Yeah, there is no doubt that the resilience of the critical infrastructure, information infrastructure specifically, cannot be assured by the self-adoption or mere adoption of the legislation. And the cybersecurity law in Moldova or abroad is not sufficient to protect efficiently the critical infrastructure. However, in my opinion, the a normative framework is at least a starting point in this complex process of regulating some social relations. And it is a fundamental prerequisite to initiate the process itself and achieve the proposed objectives. Because, of course, there are some political, firstly, objectives and some priorities and the vision of the country on how to reach this resilience, cybersecurity specifically concerned here. And, of course, the regulatory framework is not just a rule by itself. It's also a guarantee of the commitment and the liability and accountability of the actors involved in this process, as well as a guarantee for the individuals against the abuses which could be committed by the public authorities. So it's a let's say, a good guarantee for the individuals in order to protect their fundamental rights and legitimate interests. However, the cybersecurity law, of course, is not the main basis in order to achieve the objective in process of protecting critical infrastructure. While the cybersecurity law is an essential one, it alone cannot ensure higher cybersecurity. And cybersecurity is a complex and dynamic field that required a broad diversity of approaches, involving, of course, legal, technical, organizational, and educational measures. And a few reasons that why the law alone is insufficient for achieving higher cybersecurity, I think these are the technological changes. Cyber threats are constantly evolving, and the new technology may outpace the development of corresponding laws. Cybersecurity measures need to adapt quickly to emergency threats, so that adaptability is very important. The internet cybersecurity has a global nature, so the internet transcends national borders, and the cyber threats often are arising from or target multiple jurisdictions. So an effective international cooperation, and not compulsory specifically one, of course, based on the trust and collaboration, may go beyond the reach of individual national laws. I think these are just some of more important aspects which overpass just the improvement of the cybersecurity law at the national level.
Okay, perfect. But then at this point, I would say, let's get into it. And so I would call both of you actually on answering to this question, because at this point, I want to know what has been happening in the realm of the e-governance academies project in Moldova in order to develop the cyber law. So I would say that probably I would break the next question in two, like the first part for Elsa and then the second for Vitaly, because the first part is rather on a perhaps more general level, let's say, but still like obviously focused on what was done in the project. Simply, I would like to know at this point, how was the cyber law developed from Elsa? And then Vitaly, probably you instead could give us like even more insights on how it was implemented in Moldova. Because obviously these two dimensions like sort of belong to two different moments, right? Of the of either the project, but also simply of the life cycle, let's say, of coming up with a good cybersecurity law. So Elsa, I will start from you. How was the cyber law developed? And then we'll get back to Vitaly to hear how it was implemented in Moldova.
Well, overall, coming to the question, how I would start before that question, why? Like Vitaly said that this law, it's just not a standalone instrument in building cybersecurity capabilities nationwide and internationally. So prior to designing any kind of legislation, let's say, there should be a particular need. There should be a particular social problem that we should actually solve with legal measures. And of course, ensuring cybersecurity is one of those, because I would say that ultimately it's about ensuring protection of public order. It's just the question, where do those threats appear? And as earlier I discussed that those appear first in digital realm, however consequences are in real world or in conventional world, so to say. And ultimately, this will lead any kind of democratic state to ensure the safety of society wider and to ensure protection of society. It's so to say one of the priority tasks of each nation. And therefore, as referred earlier, we often can consider cybersecurity as a part of wider national security to ensure operation of a sovereign state. In turn, what would it mean legally wise to simplify is we need to have some kind of rules. We need to have some kind of obligations. But in designing cybersecurity laws or designing laws that actually aim to protect public order, it always brings the question or the need, I would say, even to intervene to constitutional rights. It's also always balance between someone's rights and someone's interests, right? And if we imagine in conventional world, how does commonly police operate when we see some guy kind of disorder in the streets that need to be intervention and requires intervention? So we all know that police cannot act without legal basis, right? All the measures police can take must be ensured with some kind of legal norms. The same applies in protection, so to say, our digital way of living or our digital assets and critical information infrastructure, if you say. And that is basically the need why we start designing cybersecurity legislation in the first place.
This actually makes me think of a more like of a rather general consideration, but still like to even like place even more in the context, let's say, why do we need like a cyber law? No? You said, what was the exact sentence that you said now?
Yes, interest in wider sense, we may see interests of the state, interest mm-hmm. to protect the state. Right?
Yes,
but there are also interests of stakeholders, interests of also natural persons, right? Because I'm being a citizen of Estonia, it is my interests as well that I have like insurance that my state takes care of me and my state facilitates me as a citizen to operate in digital realm in a safe manner, and I know that there are guarantees that there will be no breaches.
But speaking of bridges, you have instead made a mental bridge, let's say, between what happens in the cyberspace and what happens in real life. Already from the beginning, you said that yes, certain phenomena could start taking place in the digital realm, but the consequences and the repercussions of those are very much real and very much having exactly spillover effects, consequences, however we want to call them, on what's happening in real life. But also when we talk about law and we mention rights and obligations, and at the same time we mention how cyber laws in exactly the same way as laws in real life are also shaped a little bit by the cosmos of interests, let's say, that in any case lie in a society, essentially builds a mental bridge between how laws are made in the real realm, let's say, and then also like in the digital realm, which brings me to actually think of something that I think almost always happens when there is technology and when there are technological advancements. Vitaly before was mentioning, for example, how the development of cyber laws and of cybersecurity strategies has to be incremental, in the sense it has to go hand in hand with the technological advancements that are introduced or that are taking more and more ground in society. No? And for me, the interesting thing is that how, while at the same time, you know, maybe we're seeing this also a little bit with artificial intelligence at the moment as a case study, let's say, which is that every time there is a new technology or like a technological innovation coming to life, then in the very beginning, most of the talks about it are as if it could be a new sort of like wild, wild west for the moment, like in the very, very, very beginning. But then the technological wild, wild west regularly happens to be regulated after all, which means that probably we do need exactly charts, laws, documents that do list what are the rights and obligations and also shine a light on what are the interests, let's say, where these laws are stemming from and where they are implemented. So Vitaly, this is where I would call you in exactly to see how was it done in Moldova? Like, can we place this law within the context of Moldova and how it was implemented as part of the project of rapid assistance?
As usually in such kind of processes of creating and developing legislation, of course, there is a strong must to assess very well the context, the specific of each country. And within the Moldova Cybersecurity Rapid Assistance Project, the team was concentrated to assess the situation as it is, as it was, to be more precise, at that moment in 2022 in Moldova, regarding this area of cybersecurity. So this assessment provided some recommendations to Republic of Moldova in order to create an efficient and based on the best practices or cybersecurity law. The main rationale for this recommendation were the fact that Moldova is a candidate country for adhesion to the EU, and this clearly implies the need for harmonization of policies, legislation, and also sectoral governance with the EU legislation. Secondly, it was taken there into account the fact that the situation of Moldova in terms of resources, and here I'm referring specifically to the financial ones and human resources, and that these two rationales led to a preference for a rather centralized model. This centralized model now is reflected in the cybersecurity law of Republic of Moldova. And of course, in this assessment, there were assessed the best practices of the EU member states. And based on this comparative analysis, some key principles were recommended for the development of a national cybersecurity policy and cybersecurity strategy for Moldova. The main recommendation concerned aspects such as public policy and strategy. For example, a dedicated cybersecurity strategy harmonized with the ultimate legislation, I mean the NIS2 directive, for example, in line with other sectoral policy documents and with a better coordination and development process. Secondly, legislation, law, and its sub-laws shall be developed in parallel with the amendments in sectoral laws. I mean the laws which are regulated the sectors considered as critical under the NIS2 directive. The governance model and coordination. The assessment report recommended to establish a national cybersecurity center, which should carry functions as a main competent authority, national point of contact, CSIRT, national CSIRT. That was the recommendation. These functions could be merged to one institution for small countries with less human capacities, as is the case of Moldova.
But so, Vitaly, I would stick with you with actually the second last question of today's episode of the podcast. And indeed, in light of all of this, in your view, how has the publication of the cyber law, the development and the publication of the cyber law, which we said, just as a general reminder, happened at the end of April of 2023, how has it already, in your opinion, benefited, let's say, the safeguarding of the cyberspace in Moldova?
I would like to emphasize the fact that the law was just published, and it's a very small, important, but a very small step for the Republic of Moldova. And the law will enter into force on the 1st January 2025. Until this moment, the government has some responsibilities according to the law. So the government has to approve some under law documentation. And for example, the cybersecurity law sets out some transitional provision, which includes several tasks for the government with some very specific deadlines for the implementation. One of these actions were already launched. For example, the regulation or the governmental decision on creation, organization, and functioning of the new cybersecurity agency, Moldovan Cybersecurity Agency, was already published. But it was done in December last year. So there is still a lot of work to be done. The ministry responsible for the policies in the cybersecurity area, which is the Ministry of Digitalization and Economic Development, they already started the elaboration and promotion, for example, of the draft law amending the current legislation in order to bring it in line with the cybersecurity law. There was launched the official endorsement of the draft regulation on the coordination, cybersecurity coordination council. So some actions already were launched, but these are not implementing measures, and we cannot speak yet about the law implementation. So the government and the actors are now in the process of preparation for the entering into force of the law. A very important aspect which I would like to emphasize is the fact that one of the main and the important actions is the government should approve the normative framework establishing the methodology on identification of service providers. So here the scope of the law is not determined in a complete manner, let's say. So there are still some action to complete the scope of the law to understand who will fall under this law. And here the role of the new competent authority and of the new cybersecurity agency is one of the most important. We have in our law, we have an top-down approach in identification process. So the competent authority is responsible centralized manner for the identification of all service critical service providers. So the government, till the end of April, should establish this normative framework on identification. Until the end of July, the competent authority, on the basis of this normative framework, have to identify all the service providers. And this identification process, in my opinion, should be done as soon as possible in order to give to service providers as much as possible time to be prepared for the entrance into force of the law.
First of all, super complete explanation. So Vitaly, thanks a lot for that. But second, I would also, pull the strings back, let's say, from the details of the law to also say that probably one of the, I mean, you mentioned, there is one of the things that you mentioned that with my, reduced law background, though, I do know what it means. And it is the fact that there are also transitional provisions in the law, which instead will enter into force, as we said, on the 1st of January of 2025. But transitional provisions very often serve exactly the purpose of, first of all, get the ball rolling on the implementation and on the steps that need to be done. And second, also to help identify what are the loopholes in the law, for example, that has already been drafted, and see exactly what the competent authorities in the different domains and responsibilities have to do in order to be prepared for the entering into force of the law that will happen exactly at the beginning of next year. Elsa, we wrap it up with you in a couple of minutes, because we saw how it was implemented in Moldova, or better, what is happening in Moldova as part of the Rapid Assistance Project. We saw also like how in the context, let's say, this development of cyber law that is happening in Moldova is also going towards the direction of what Moldova and the Moldovan government is asked, let's say, to at the same time update and comply with in order for the accession process to European institutions. So this brings a little bit, you know, the topic from a national dimension to a more international one, which I think is the best moment to ask you. More than best practices in other countries, I would rather know what, in your opinion, for example, are some lessons learned, so to say, or in any case, like some general principles that, for example, this project has brought to the spotlight, let's say, and that cybersecurity experts and officials in other countries could and should keep in mind when approaching the topic of cyber law.
To start with the European Union approach, then what I witnessed myself and learned positively, or more even got confirmation on the relevance of the European Union approach, actually, because on the example of the Network and Information System Directive, especially in the European Union, and also maybe, so to say, GDPR, this acronym, General Data Protection Regulation, they both serve quite a solid standards to every nation, I would say. And I've seen that very many countries treat it similarly. And they really see that, leaving aside what is the concrete status of one particular country, whether it's like a European Union member state or it's outside EU accessing the European Union, nowadays policymakers all take those European Union acts as well-balanced and refined standards to follow and to integrate them into national policy documents or legislation, depending on the needs and particular jurisdiction and cultural context. In terms of the European Union legislation, I would also like to emphasize the fact of international cooperation in doing business globally wise, because it's extremely important to stay compliant with the best practices and standards as well while doing business cross borders or in terms of data exchange or in terms of change of personal data cross borders. So therefore, positively, the European Union has provided quite a remarkable set of tools that are really, as I said, well considered and balanced ones.
And if next to that we would mention, let's say, two or three things that you, Elsa, you know, based on the experience also gathered from this project, would recommend officials to pay attention to when developing or thinking of a cyber law in general, whether that is in the European space or outside, what are, let's say, two or three things that really, like in bullet points, let's say, would you say that need to be taken into account when developing a cyber law?
Well, first and foremost, as previously briefly mentioned, every kind of new legislative initiative or intervention should start with a proper legal inventory, let's say, or national legal assessment to critically assess where do we stand, what do we have actually in place? Because as previously said, we may find cyber norms, not only from the cybersecurity law, but from other domains and from other legislative frameworks, other legislative acts. So yes, first, one has to assess critically what are the needs. And for that purposes, I remember in our previous episodes, what focused on capacity buildings. Several times, cybersecurity exercises were mentioned as one very good tool to test the maturity, to test the gaps, to validate the needs. And I would say that the same applies to legislation. And commonly what is done, a good example is international cybersecurity live fire exercises that are organized annually by the NATO CCD COE. Of course, these are more like international ones and more focused on military domain, but still they have a very good track in those exercises to validate the applicability of normative framework as well. But this can be also done on national basis. And this should be like kind of a good practice in doing this cybersecurity legal assessment as well. So this is the first point I would like to think of. Second of all, what is often on the table, on lawyers' table, is the aspiration to overregulate, but not from the lawyer's perspective, but from the politician's perspective. A legal framework has to be refined and well-balanced instrument, so do not overregulate. The less is better, I would say, in that regard.
I think this could be exactly the perfect ending point of today's podcast. So, Elsa and Vitaly, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's it also from your usual host. Thanks, as usual, to our listeners for tuning into another episode of the Digital Government Podcast. And I just hope to see you all at the next one as well. Have a good day.
This podcast is brought to you by the eGovernance Academy. Tune in next time.